Good morning, Fritz Berger, and June 4th, 2020. Where to begin? It's been a lot of crazy stuff in the last just a few days. This hasn't lasted long. But I'm not here to talk about the news. I've got a mission, and the mission is the Great Commission. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It's to preach the gospel to every nation, all the nations, which includes my own nation. And it's to bring discipline to the nations and to teach them everything that Jesus Christ taught. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and His Word is from Genesis right through the Revelation. and it's not just personal salvation on an individual basis; it's national salvation. The Bible talks about the nations. The nations are going to go, and they're going to say, somebody's got to teach us about the Lord. Somebody's got to teach us about God Almighty. Why are you doing so well? And the answer will be because we serve Jesus Christ. And that used to be the case in Europe. And unfortunately, Europe and the European peoples, by and large, as a whole, have abandoned their Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm calling them back. You European peoples, you need to come back to Jesus Christ. And That's the goal. That's the goal. The current crises and the problems that are in the world, you know, they're trying to solve them in a way that's not going to be solved. I was talking to a group of people yesterday, and they're wringing their hands and, you know, complaining about, you know, the systemic racism. And but they have no solution, and they know they don't have a solution. It's systemic racism. Well, how do you solve that? And then you got the guys like Van Jones who says it's genetically ingrained into white people. So what's the solution if it's genetically ingrained in white people? Yeah, it's not a good end for the white people, is it? I made another analogy the other day. Praying that we solve this is like, you know, praying for a marital reconciliation between a gay couple. You know, it's hard to build something that lasts and that's going to be good, that's not built on the truth. It's not built on something that they can last in the first place. And we've built entire societies dedicated to the destruction of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And they would not phrase it that way. They are like their father, the devil, very subtle, very deceitful, and they talk about diversity and tolerance. And they're all diverse and tolerant when it's a Christian worldview and culture out there. And then as soon as they get the power, like they have now, there ain't no diversity, and there's certainly no tolerance for a diverse opinion. The diversity may be in the skin tone, as long as it trends towards non-white, and the tolerance is gone. It's gone. One of my favorite sites yesterday is taken down, violating terms of service. So there's no tolerance. And so when, you know, this group of people that I'm familiar with want to have a dialogue, I say, they don't want to have a dialogue. They want to have group agreement. And out of a 360-degree circle, the dialogue is to convince people to stay within this arc of 4 degrees. And we can argue within the arc of 4 degrees, but you can't talk outside of that, and that's not a dialogue. And part of what I'm doing is having a dialogue, because this is I'm letting it all out. I'm telling you what I think, raw and unedited. Nah, I do a little editing, but it's pretty much raw and unedited. You're gonna get stuff that you're not gonna find in a group dialogue in a corporate setting, because this would not be permitted. So the idea that they want a dialogue is amazing. It's self-deception. That's the sad thing about it. They think they want a dialogue, but they don't want a dialogue. They want group agreement, and we can fight within this, you know, 4-degree arc of a circle. But if you're out of that, if you're anywhere else on that circle, then that is speech that is not permitted. And I'm here to break that, break it up a little bit and speak. So, but the goal is the preaching of the truth. The goal is the preaching of the gospel and the building of Christian nation states. There will be no Christianity unless we have Christian nation states. There will be none. Christianity, let's put it this way. Let's make it simpler. A person with ideas like I have, me, I cannot exist and flourish and raise a family and convert people in a system where my ideas are illegal. And they're not permitted in the workplace. They're not permitted in the schools. They're illegal. This is like the Soviet Union. I have illegal ideas. And you know, the Soviet Union never said your ideas are illegal. They just says they had the equivalent of hate speech. They said, well, you're speaking against the people. And if you speak against the party, you speak against the people. And if you speak against the people, then you need to go into a gulag. In the United States, we have a system where it says, well, you're intolerant and you have hate speech. And it's fine if you want to think about those things between your ears. But if you open up your mouth and you speak them and it doesn't agree with the party line from the Democratic Socialists of America, it's hate speech. And it will be banned. And if that doesn't work, we'll turn to violence. And so I think that's what the culture that we've built in the United States, in the universities and in the corporate culture. It's funny how these institutions were taken over. The early universities in the United States were evangelical Protestant Christian institutions, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. And they were to train men to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they've been taken over by the Antichrists, all the Antichrists. And now, you know, you can't do that. And so, you know, when the preacher goes out to preach and he doesn't understand why he can't get any souls saved because nobody is converted, it's because they've been indoctrinated for their entire life that Christianity is a lie. And they've been indoctrinated that through the public schools and the universities. And they go to work and they're told, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't say that. And you know, it's hard ground. It's hard ground. It's ground with weeds and rocks and no water. And then we wonder why we can't get a crop. Well, we abandoned the garden. We decided that we're not going to build the soil. And so we're out there flailing around trying to throw the seed out there into soil that's parched and barren and rocky and full of weeds. And we shake our head and go, well, why? You know, why? How come people aren't getting saved? The answer is the church has neglected the tending of the soil. And the soil is the culture. The soil is the whole culture. We've agreed with the Antichrist. We've agreed with them that a religion should be a private matter and it should be sequestered into these very, very small realms of society that get smaller and smaller and smaller every day and every year. And as a result, well, the result is where we're at. The result is where we're at. A Christian man cannot open his mouth and speak his piece in outside of his podcast or his blog or maybe his church without being accused of the most heinous crimes that this society has to offer. Nobody cares about murdering somebody. The Floyd thing, at the end of the day, it wasn't that some dude got murdered. It was that a white man murdered a black man. And so you've got, you know, that was the greater crime. And the ideological crimes have become the greatest crimes in this country, for which there is no tolerance for them. And they will do everything they can to suppress those ideological crimes. And the other physical kinetic crimes are you know, acceptable. So what do we do? And where do we go from here? So there's a word in the Bible. It's called coward. A coward is somebody who is cowed. A man who is cowed shirks in a corner and puts up his arms and hands and said, don't hurt me, don't beat me, leave me alone. And he just wants to go about his business and do his own thing. And the church has been cowed. It's been completely cowed. So that they are so afraid of offending that not only now do they not offend, but they go to the other side and defend an Antichrist order. And how are you know, if the church can't preach the truth, how are people going to get saved? And if Christians aren't bold enough to speak the truth, how are people going to hear the gospel? And so I'm reduced, not reduced to this, but I'm very thrilled that I have the opportunity to share through my podcast and my blog, bloodandfaith.com. And I'm not going to stop. I've had somebody tell me, you know, you better be careful. You better watch out. You know, I don't want anything bad happening to you. And, you know, what does that say about the culture at large? What does that say about the United States of America? If people are genuinely and seriously concerned about my welfare because I dare to say something that's not politically correct, what does that say about our country? What does it say about the United States of America if sincere, honest, college-educated adult Americans can come to me and say, Fritz, I'm worried about you, I'm worried about what you're saying, because bad things can happen to you because you're saying things that aren't permitted, and they're serious. And I want to shake him and say, do you know what you're saying? Listen to yourself. Do you know what you're saying? This is the Soviet Union in the 1970s, where men are not permitted political thoughts anymore because something bad's going to happen to them. And we don't have the gulags in the United States, but there's a lot of ways people can get back to you. And it's not just physically. In the United States, we're slaves to our money. We all are. We're slaves to our money. If we don't have money, it's not like we can go live on our back 20 acres and raise chickens and cows and grow crops. Because of the financialization of the entire economy, that's gone. It's not possible to do that anymore. And if you don't have that money flowing in, you're in a tough place. And most employers that I'm familiar with have extremely strict moral and speech codes. Let's just call them what they are. They're moral codes and they're speech codes. And if you violate the speech code, if you violate the moral code, there's zero tolerance. And this is where I say this generation owes an apology to the Puritans. It really does. I think the Puritans had a lot more liberty to live their lives and speak their peace than Americans do today in 2020. If you say and speak the wrong things, they will get you. And they may not brand an A on your forehead, but they'll probably brand you with an R on your forehead. Because anything that you say or do that's outside of what they permit is going to be sexist, racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, divisive, and intolerant. And it is worse. It's just as bad as what the Soviet Union was doing back in its day. And we've created that culture in the United States where a man's not permitted to have an opinion. Man is not permitted to have an opinion. He can't speak. He can't say anything. And if you have a Christian worldview, if you have my worldview, oh my God, you can't say that. You talk about patriarchy, oh my God, you're a sexist. You talk about salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a racist. You talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm homophobic. And on and on and on. And I become the greatest sinner in the land. And so I don't want to hear about this. We have a free country. I was at church a couple years ago, and this guy was up there singing, saying, oh, it's so nice that we live in a free country that we can worship God. Sure, in a private business located in some corner of town with the doors shut, and you can speak your piece. Oh, wow. You can't do that. You can't do that in your place of employment. You can't do that in where you go to school. You can't do that. And there's one law for one set of people and another law for another set of people. Which gets me to my next point. How long does this last? How long can you string this out? I was talking to somebody last night, and they were reading me stories from aggrieved people who talked about how they were discriminated against for their race and their sex. And I said, I want you to listen to what you're reading very carefully. And, you know, the person had a very successful life that was doing quite well. But she had all these perceived slights. Nothing concrete. There's the cats again. There we go. Nothing concrete. Nothing physical. It's just, well, I think they thought this. And I know they thought that. And this person said this, and why would they say that? And you've created a culture where people walk around, you know, wired so tight, they don't say anything. People can't even speak to one another because somebody could take it wrong. And that's what we've got. That's what I see. That's what I see in my little corner of the world. People are wound so tight, they don't want to visit with people. They don't want to talk to people. They don't want to have anything that approaches a normal human interaction with another human being, because somebody somewhere could perceive it as violating some EEO guideline. And, you talk about a toxic environment. It's ugly. It's an ugly environment because nobody can be a human being anymore. Nobody can be a human being and let their hair down and relax and just open up and have a conversation like I'm trying to have right now. You can't. And I can't tell you how many times very, close people to me that says, you can't say that. You can't say that. And I guess I came to the point in my life where I'm just done with that. I'm going to say it. And I'm going to say it because I owe it to my children. I owe it to my grandchildren. I owe it to all the young men that go fighting in these wars with the deep faith that there's somebody that's more mature and more responsible, guiding our country down the right direction. And I hate to tell them, but I said, there's not. It's barren. And I can't live that way anymore. And so I'm going to open my mouth and speak. It's not to be obnoxious. It's not to be somebody once said just to be a bomb thrower. No. So at the end of the day, as a Christian, my job is to preach the gospel. It's to open up my mouth and speak. And to speak the truth as I understand it from the Holy Scriptures, from the Greek and Hebrew Scriptures, and that's what I'm going to do. In our cultures in Europe, North America, have been so corrupted that we even need to rebuild the philosophy. And so that's why I've written quite a bit about philosophy at bloodandfaith.com. You can click on the tag there. And then I talk about theology. And you can click on the theology tags. And then you build up from there. This isn't about, throwing a scripture at each other. You got to rebuild the entire worldview. And part of the problem of the church is the entire intellectual foundation has been collapsed. And we're trying to layer a form of religiosity on top of a pagan antichrist worldview. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. If the foundations are rotten, the building will collapse. And so the task is big. It has to be from the ground up. Now, the exciting thing about the collapse of what once used to be a very, very civil and nice society in the United States, and now I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that and say how horrible things have always been in the United States. But one of the exciting things about this is that there's going to be opportunities for the church to become the church again. And I don't mean by the church, I don't mean, the little house down on the corner with a cross on top where people gather together on Sunday mornings and sing and go home and then live in a pagan culture and conform to a pagan culture. And I'm not by any means talking about personal sins. The church has nothing to talk about anymore. The church has got nothing to talk about anymore. So we turn inward and we beat ourselves up about how bad we are and how much we need to change our inner self to be better people. Why? Because we can't talk about the world and go out and change the world anymore. So we turn inward and we're gonna dig and beat ourselves up about how worthless and horrible and terrible we are. That's not conducive to growth or maturity or anything else. God will do the pruning. God does the pruning. All right, you get a healthy tree, you plant it in cow manure, and that tree starts growing. And, it's going to have this issue here, this issue there. The tree's got to grow, and then God can do the pruning. But the church isn't growing, not in numbers, not in maturity, not in wisdom, not in power, not in anything. It's shriveling up and dying. And so as this the current order collapses, the church will have the opportunity, those of us that so choose to rally and say, you know what? I'm going to throw off these man-made shackles. I'm going to throw off the handcuffs that I've put around my mind, the handcuffs that I've put on my tongue, the handcuffs that I've put on what I write and what I say, and I'm going to cast that aside. My goal is not to make the Antichrist happy, It's to make my king happy. I have a king. I have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. That's who I'm loyal to. That's the only person I'm loyal to. And I'm loyal to those that serve him. And I'm going to speak and act and comport myself in a way that honors him. And I'm not going to get all wound up on whether or not I offended you. And the church spends too much time worrying about, you know, whether or not we have bad thoughts. You know, I had an evil thought in my heart last night. Hey, man, get out there and do the work of the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel. And the gospel is not the two-question test. It's everything. It's rebuilding Christian nations. And if we would unshackle our minds, unshackle our mouths, and go out there and preach the gospel, you know what? It's going to be exciting. I think a lot of men have abandoned the church because it's weak, it's powerless, and it's cowardly. The church is cowardly because they are cowed, and they are afraid to say anything because somebody somewhere is going to be offended, and they want to position themselves so that they receive the praise of men, the praise of the Antichrist. And we have no power. It's worthless. The church is worthless. That's why it is cast out as tasteless salt and trampled under the feet of men. That perfectly describes the church of the United States. So God's going to give us an opportunity as things collapse to decide which side of the fence we fall on. And there's no more gray man. The gray man are gone. I know a lot of people. I said, I'm just going to be a gray man. I'm going to be the gray man that nobody knows who I am and where I am so I can survive. And that ain't it, man. That ain't it. You don't take a torch and put a basket over it. It's time to open up your mouth and speak. I've said this before, but you know, start a blog. Send emails. Send out a tweet. Make your own videos. Make your own podcast. It doesn't have to be great. It's got to be something. This isn't great, but it's something. And I'm going to keep going, and maybe I get better at it.